Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to part 7 of our Artificial General Intelligence series. This time we're talking about Rise of the Skin Hungry. And we want to thank Carol McDonald for her contribution to this show. Coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I wanted to definitely, before we get started, thank Carol McDonald for her contribution to this show. It was because of the fact that she shared a very interesting article about people who are skin hungry that RD and I decided to make sure we take a stab at this as well, as it relates to our dependence on technology and some of the drawbacks and critiques technology has had on us, which is Rise of the Skin Hungry. Now, I'll let you know right now, I am a hugger. I love hugs. I think hugs make the world go around. I think if more people hug each other, we wouldn't have as many problems as we do. But who knows? I could be wrong. But I'm a person who is very tactile. I like to talk to people. Not tactile, tactile. I like to talk to people. I like to hug people. I'm one that I'll, you know, pat someone on the shoulder because I express myself through touch. And there are other people who are not as expressive. They don't like you in their personal space, things of that nature. But at the same time, everyone needs physical interaction. However, in our world today, that is changing. More and more people are becoming what is known as skin hungry. What's that all about? We'll talk about it in just a few moments with my returning guest, co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. You can weigh in on our topic by calling in at 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. I have been enjoying our series on artificial general intelligence as we critique the rise of technological advancement and dependence that we have on our technology. And with me to help me out to really give us some concrete evidence of this is my good friend R.D. Palmer. As I've told you before, he is the author of the book The One, which is a mishmash of genres, taking Amish fiction and dystopian and smashing them all together. And it's available on Amazon.com. So make sure you go ahead and pick up a copy of that book today. You will not be disappointed. It's gotten rave reviews. And also the audiobook, too. So you want to get the audiobook, make sure you go to audible.com and go ahead and download a copy of the book. RD, as always, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Always enjoy having your insights and just really helping Christians to understand how we need to be cognizant of the choices that we have before us, particularly when it comes to technology. So go ahead, just really quickly reintroduce yourself, because we never know who's new joining in, listening in. Reintroduce yourself for us.
Yes. Again, thank you so much, Parker. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thanks so much to your listening audience as they continue with questions, because of the fact it's the questions that are really spurring, great discussions that we have. So as you said, just a quick background about me for those that haven't listened to previous shows on the Parker J. Cole Show. So specifically, I've worked in the software industry all my life, been involved with robots and been involved with the hardware, computer hardware companies, software companies, and been able to travel or really work in many different countries. And what I bring to the table is knowledge, certainly of software, but really from a Christian perspective of where we're going with artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence.
This topic, as we've told you before, numerous broadcasts before, like I said, this is going to be a long-running series because we're literally only scratching the surface of this topic, but we hope that these conversations give you what you need to do your own research and to figure some of these things out for yourself without our help. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and just delve into this topic. Again, I want to thank Carol McDonald. She is a fellow author as well as a master storyteller. And she shared this article with us about a few days ago, and I was extremely intrigued by this article because of the fact it talked about people being skin hungry. And skin hungry, as we, me and RD both understood it, is the need for people to be touching you. And we're not necessarily talking in a sexual way, just having human contact. And as you read the article and I shared it with you earlier, RD, what were some of the things that came to mind about it?
Well, first of all, I thank Carol also for sharing that because a couple things that came to me, came to mind is that it was referencing a psychological study dealing with rhesus monkeys. And specifically, if the rhesus monkeys were not touched, then what happened is that they became antisocial and they were, I'll call it psychological problems for the rhesus monkeys. Now, fortunately for me, many years ago, I'd actually seen a video of this test that psychologists were doing to take these baby rhesus monkeys away from their mother. And with these babies, baby monkeys, they wouldn't have any touch. What happened on the videos, it showed actually that they would rock themselves over and over again. And it was really a very sad movie for me. And it drove home that we, not only as humans, but certainly as the monkeys, really require touch. And it's because of touch, and Parker mentioned hugs just a few minutes ago, but it's because of touch that really brings our humanity back to say, hey, we're alike. And because of the fact that we're alike, we feel pain, we feel suffering, we feel joy, and that touch actually helps us is what it does.
I was thinking of when you mentioned about how the monkeys were holding themselves back and forth. Do you remember the story of the feral child they found probably back in 2005, 2006, possibly earlier than that? And she had been in, they call it the girl in the window, and she had been found. She had been sorely neglected by her mother. She had never had her mother hold her or hug her. When they found her, she was crawling with lice. She was about 7 years old and weighed 7 pounds. She had a diaper. And one of the things that she did was that she rocked back and forth. She did not have any communication skills. It was just a really horrible case of neglect. Even the police officer said, this is the worst I've ever seen. And this couple ended up taking her, you know, and it became apparent. So when you're dealing with that severe of a disability, it actually caused friction between the couple. They ended up getting divorced several years later. And now she's about 20, 21, 22 now, and she's not quite the same. Even though she's had, I remember in the article when they did like a follow-up article to her about 2 or 3 years later, he said she wouldn't hug him at first, wouldn't kiss him at first, and she would give him like little sloppy kisses as a child. And she actually distrusted his wife because his wife was reminiscent of her mother, the mother that never gave her any affection. And so we're not taking it lightly when we say that people need human interaction. We need human connection and connectivity, not just digital ones. Go ahead and expand on that as we get ready to go into our topic here, RB. And one of the things I want to talk about, is the fact about how important human interaction is. And we use that one example about the monkeys. Use that one example. What are some other examples you can think of?
Well, other examples about human interaction, and thanks again to Carol for bringing up the article, is that when humans are placed in solitary confinement, you know, that's over in a prison cell, what happens is that they don't get touched. And it actually, you know, they're paying a debt to society, but in that process, you could say that there's a real penalty, not just being behind bars, But the penalty is that they're not being touched, and because of that, it really drives a number of people. I'll go back to that analogy of where they rock themselves because of the fact that it's just deep desire for humans to have that. Now, what happens is that, and this is, if you will, the bridge off over to artificial intelligence, is that we are, as a society, I think everybody knows that artificial intelligence is ubiquitous. It's really all around us, and it's continuing to grow. And people are placing their feelings into artificial intelligence as compared to humans and as compared to touching people. What we've done is we've replaced that in a number of aspects to where it is, instead of a touch, it's a like. So if I can get 100 likes on my whatever social media screen, then that makes me feel good as compared to getting that hug and touching people. And what's happening is that we're supplanting this. Now, there's a famous psychologist, John Bowlby, B-O-W-L-B-Y, and then he came up with what is called the theory of attachment. And in psychology, what that means is that even with an infant, so in infants, when the child is born, there's that bonding that child has with their mother. And then if there's a separation, of course, we know that bonding is broke. And what happens is now with technology, people are trying to replace that bonding with that human bonding with inanimate things. Or like, for example, there's some people that they'll bond with their car or they'll bond with their computer or something such as that, and they'll even give, I don't know, their car, for example, names. And so what we're seeing is a wave that is drifting away from being social with people, and it is being more entwined in technology and expecting really that technology is going to benefit us. Now, in some case, and it's not necessarily a black and white situation, because in some cases, obviously, technology is good. An example is I'm on a phone right now, and so I'm reaching out to Parker, I'm reaching out to the audience. So there is a good about that, but what we're talking about here more specifically is that feeling of touch, that feeling of intimacy, and that it's really going to be hard, I believe, to supplant that with the human touch, yet people are going to look at that with artificial intelligence and certainly with robots that are embedded with artificial intelligence, and that's what's starting to come within our society.
One of the things that I find interesting is how much our science fiction really starts to reflect the trends that are currently going on right now. And one of the things we had talked about in this series was the rise of digital dolls, human lovers versus digital dolls. And that is on the rise. It's already out there. And so the thing is this, when we talk about human touching and connectivity, we're actually talking about intimacy. And intimacy, again, is not always a sexual connotation as much as a direct connection that you may have with someone. I can have an intimate conversation with a platonic friend, male or female. I can have an intimate conversation with my mother, my father. It's an intimate conversation, not because it's something sexual overtones, but because there's a connection between two people who are next to each other and looking at each other per se. And of course, you can also have that intimate conversation over the phone. I get that. But we're talking about human interpersonal relationships, physical ones. And so the question I have for you is this: can artificial intelligence provide an intimacy? Can they feel for you?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that real quick.
Excellent question. And so this is not just me speaking. This is Harvard professors, people that are involved even more, a lot more than me, because I'm retired and they're working day in and day out with artificial intelligence. What we have today is that there's a mimic. That artificial intelligence mimics intimacy, but it does not have intimacy. And from the people that I've listened to, documents that I've read, we're not expecting that whatsoever. And I'll back up for just a moment and explain that. So in my days when I would program, it was all about getting results, getting an answer of something, and it was not about feelings. Now, today what we have with artificial intelligence is that we have literally to where people have taken, it was over 100,000 videos, 100,000 videos, uploaded it into a program, had artificial intelligence watch all the videos, and then what's happened is that, and this was actually at a university, they were speaking to that artificial intelligence entity, and the artificial intelligence entity would speak back, respond, but it would actually take, if you will, slices, because there's over 100,000 videos. And again, you would think that it's you would think that it's saying something about that I care for you and that I love you, but the reality of it is that entity, which is, it comes back to, in artificial intelligence, zeros and ones, and in artificial general intelligence, a zero and a one. But the reality of it is there is no feeling there, and what's happening is that it's tricking many people. So we're seeing that, and again, this isn't just me saying this. This is, professors at Caltech, Harvard, and so on, they're saying that they're fooling you. And what's happening is that there's people that want to be fooled. They know when they go into talking with, I'll say, this little robot that's speaking to them, that there is no love, but they're supplanting their emotions to that, and they really want to be fooled because of the fact that it helps them to feel better.
One of the things that I was thinking about as we were getting ready for this conversation is that the Lord told us back in Genesis 2, he said, it's not good that man should be alone. I think this is extremely vital because he created woman. And this is where it starts to come down to gender for a minute here. It's not gender assigned, it's gender roles, but he created a helpmeet for Adam. And I think that's important because his helpmeet would be similar to him but not like him. And it will be, she would be a helpmeet to him. She will help him. And I think that's highly significant because now there's a rise of people who are doing things such as sex bots and companion bots, okay? And so we're getting our sexual intimacy now from a machine. And at first, you would laugh your head off. I mean, you got to bear with me, RD, with my Star Trek references here. But there's an episode of the old original series of Star Trek where this planet of people who had never had that type of relationship because they were controlled by a machine, and McCoy, one of the girls asked, what if one of them died? And he said, well, they'll need a replacement. He said, well, how would they get a replacement? They don't know what to do. And Duff, of course, like, a machine would have to tell them how to do that, have the machine, running the people, and it kind of makes sense because the machine wouldn't have any, it would have the schematics, but it wouldn't have the connection of that. And so now we have people who are getting sex bots and companion bots and considering them as helpmeets, as equals. Talk about that for us.
Yeah, so sex bots exist today. So, and there's actually, I'll just do a slight detour on this. So there's some people that are saying that, are they real, like people, okay? So I can tell you already that there's one robot that they gave the name of the robot, artificial intelligence robot, by the name of Sophia. So in Saudi Arabia, they've already given her citizenship. So by giving her citizenship, that means that she's a person. And so now people are looking around the world saying, hey, I've got a robot that now has personhood. And so with that being said, what I can do is I can have a relationship, and that relationship would be, unfortunately, instead of being a helpmeet, a lot of times that since the sex robot, that relationship is really for lust, and I hate to say this, but whatever the bad stuff is, it could be rape and all that other stuff, but we see people that instead of going back to that original thing about the life of the skin hungry that Carol had mentioned, what we see is that people are supplanting or instead of having that touch, instead of having that community with humans, now they're looking to take their fantasies and they're taking a look at their lust, if you will, and they're using that from machines. And even as I speak with machines, which unfortunately, they're available today for that, and they're getting more powerful as far as communication. But there's even cities around the world that are opening, that have opened up. So we're not talking about in the future; we're talking about now, that they've opened up with robot sex brothels. So you can go to these places, and again, instead of having a help meet, instead of having a what I would call a healthy relationship with somebody from the opposite sex, here, let's go to this place over here for your gratification. And I think that that's really bad, but that's what's happening with our technology.
We did get a comment from David from Springdale, Arkansas. David, thank you for weighing in. David says, I wonder how much of this is due to the smartphone. Not only does it dumb people down, but you don't have to share personal contact with them. David, thank you so much for your comment. RD?
Yeah, I think that that is an astute observation. There's something, if I could expand a little bit on what David is saying. So within the smartphone, of course, what we have is more technology than what was used to land the vehicle on the moon, right? And it is artificial intelligence that is in that smartphone. There are personal contacts in there, but what's happening, and I'll actually dive into a little bit of what David is saying. Artificial intelligence, and this is my personal belief, and I believe that others in the educational community will back me up on this, in many aspects, artificial intelligence is dumbing us down. So we've got a smartphone that's giving us all the answers. Like, for example, and I'm not trying to pick on a specific technology, but it could be Siri as an example. You speaking into Siri and you're asking it for questions, and instead of you doing thinking, you're getting answers on that. And so what we have is that, again, it's supplementing us from thinking as well as supplementing us from feeling. So I think that that's a good question, and smartphone is just a part of it, yes.
So you say it supplements us from thinking as opposed to feeling.
Yes, that is correct.
You know, and I think that's pretty profound because we do get caught up in our emotions. You know, we can definitely feel. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's such a lack of critical thinking. That's why you can have, like, a person get upset about, you know, one thing without actually having all the information at their fingertips. They just go, well, that's horrible. I just heard this. I didn't think about it. I just kind of did a knee-jerk reaction to the information. And that's one thing that happens when you have the lack of we have that lack of critical thinking. What tends to happen, you just go with your emotions, go with on the flow. And for those who are listening in, we are talking to R.D. Palmer. He is my guest for my Artificial General Intelligence series. Today we're talking about Rise of the Skin Hungry. Hugs make the world go round. That's my personal belief. But what if you don't get a hug anymore? How is artificial intelligence replacing the need or the desire or the longing for human interaction? You can weigh on that topic by calling in at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi. Is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about artificial general intelligence. This has been a series that R.D. Palmer and I have brought to you to make sure that you're aware of the implications of artificial general intelligence, technological advances, artificial intelligence general, and just to make you aware of what's going on in the world so you know how best to respond to these things. The reason why is because if we have the opportunity to make legislation to really control our artificial intelligence, we won't lose part of ourselves, our humanity. In this edition of our series, we're talking about Rise of the Skin Hungry. And this show was due in part to Carol McDonald. She was the impetus for this show because she shared an article about the rise of the skin hungry, how technology is affecting human connectivity. And in my personal opinion, like I said before, the break, hugs make the world go around. But what if you couldn't get a hug anymore? We talk about people who have been in solitary confinement and how detrimental it is to them when they don't have human interaction. We talk about the experiment with the Remus monkeys and how the monkeys would just rock themselves because they did not have any connection. I didn't talk to you about the feral child that was found several years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. It was called The Girl in the Window. And you can look her up online to see how she's doing so far. She's in a home right now and how she did not have any human connection, any connectivity. People are important. We are important to each other. When God created Adam, in Genesis 2:18, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him help meet for him." So we're talking about the fact that we do need each other. And RB, once again, thank you for being with me on the show as we talk about Rising Skin Hungry. Before the break, we talked about the sex box and how people are looking to replace a healthy relationship with someone of the opposite sex with a robot. So let's talk about companion bots real quick. How does that differ from sex box?
Yes, good question. So you and I both said something before, actually several times on this, on several different radio shows that you've had, Parker, dealing with artificial general intelligence. What you've said and what I've said is that technology in itself is not bad. It is not evil. So it's just what some people are using it for, and it can be used for both good or it could be used for bad. So we've talked about some of the bad things as an example that people are using artificial intelligence and they're creating these what used to be dolls, and now they're mimicking speech and they're mimicking feelings, and those are sex bots. But there's also companion bots. And let me explain a little bit about that. But before I do that, let me just revisit something that we've talked about previously on your radio shows, and that's really what is – there's different types of artificial intelligence. So there's basically two main categories. We have artificial intelligence today – and many people consider that it's called machine learning language, and you could have, you can go get a degree today, for example, you could be a machine language engineer, right? And then what that does is it's interpreting what is either in text, in speech, or visual, and it's turning that around and trying to give you some kind of an answer. And in many cases, well, in machine learning, it is very difficult, maybe even pretty close to impossible, that scientists and machine learning engineers know specifically how the artificial intelligence entity came up with the answer. And the reason for that is because, well, I won't go too technical about it, but there's a whole convoluted way, and it's trying to figure out what the answer is. Now, again, artificial general intelligence isn't here, but yet we do have a tremendous number of people all around the world that are attempting to create that. And what that is it's artificial intelligence that spreads across all domains, all lines of thinking, right? Now, the reason why I bring that up is because of the fact that when it comes with companion bots, which are, and I don't even know that there's different terminology because of the fact that it's not spread out through much, too much in the populace right now. Some people call them social bots. Some people call them companion bots. But it's specifically for those that want to have companionship. And I'll bring attention to some people because of the fact that I mentioned previously and Parker's mentioned, you know, technology in itself is not evil. I'm retired now, but if I was back in the industry, I would probably go to work, or if I could, if for a couple different people, Gordy Rose and Suzanne Gilbert. And they've started a company, it was last year, it was called Sanctuary AI. And just to give you a short background, Gordy Rose, he was the first guy in the history of this world that came up with creating a quantum computer. So he created that quantum computer, the first ever, and now he's over here with Suzanne Gilbert. And these are two phenomenal brains that are working at Sanctuary. They're a company called Sanctuary AI, and it's AGI, which is Artificial General Intelligence. And specifically what it is to build artificial intelligence robots that can look like us, walk like us, and feel like us. And so with that being said, what happens is on the companion bots, there's, for example, a whole segment of the population, there's disabilities that some people have. You know, there's physical disabilities, there's elderly that are hard to get around, you know, hard to take medicine. Maybe some people that, you know, are bedridden and they're on dialysis or chemotherapy or things such as that, right? Well, what companion bots are, again, it's different than the sex bots. These companion bots are there to help people. And they come, and again, there's a supplanting of emotions that's with that. But if you don't have a disability or if you're not elderly, if you would just for a moment try to step in their shoes, you know, who's going to help me if you don't have people around you at all times? So in this case, I see that technology is definitely something that's of help for people. Unfortunately, again, if a person can get attached to that, but that's, again, the technology. And we're going to see this. I think that we're just probably at the very beginning. This is 2019. I'm starting to see this, but we're going to see it more in what I call retirement facilities. We're going to see more of it in hospitals and maybe home care and stuff such as that. But that's what's also going on with artificial intelligence.
What saddens me when I hear that a little bit is that, in a way, it's sad that we would have to depend on technology to take care of our elderly. But so many elderly people are left to their own devices. Like, I think of my grandmother almost every other weekend. And lately I've been thinking of her, like, every 2 weekends, and I take, you know, have 2 weeks off, pick her up again, you know. But I would never leave her alone. She's always surrounded by family. We take care of her. But I remember some time ago I was at the senior citizen apartment where she lives at, and I was getting her, and this woman was staring at us. And to be honest with you, RD, I've never seen a woman look so jealous. She's an older lady, and I happened to talk to her a couple of times, and she said, well, I live alone. My daughter doesn't speak to me. I have a domestic, that's what she called it. She said, I have a domestic that stole from me, so I just live by myself. I can't get around. She was in, like, a wheelchair, and just this bitterness was over her. And then when she saw me with my grandmother, just this jealous expression came over her face. You know,
wow.
And I didn't realize how much, I didn't realize how, when the Lord said that children are a blessing for you, because we take care of my grandmother, you know, and my parents take care of my grandmother now, and to have someone take care of you in your old age, I mean, there really is something to that. Not necessarily have to be like your own natural children, but someone who cares enough to spend their energies on you. And the fact that we would have to replace genuine human concern or just companionship with a bot, it seems sad to me, but I do understand where you're coming from. Like, hey, at least they'll have someone they can at least attach themselves to, even though it is artificial. What do you think when I say that to you? What are some of your thoughts that come to mind, RD?
Well, it's really sad that exactly she said that there's a lot of percentage of the population because of the fact that there's rifts in the family. There's, you know, whether it's divorce or, you know, some flare-up that occurred, and then, as you'd mentioned, with the number of elderly, they don't have anybody. And even if they do have somebody, such as, you know, you're helping your grandmother, that individual's not around them at all times, right? So as an elderly person, they may slip. Now, of course, there's devices that we have, you know, I think that they, you know, can wear it around as a necklace and stuff such as that. But here with companion bots, that companion bot is really around you, you know, all the time, right? And again, we're only starting to see this in the marketplace because of the fact it's still in its infancy, but I believe that it's coming. And I think it's unfortunate that we're going to supplant our feelings that way. But I think that that's just overall, to me, there's so many things that goes on. I call this, and I just about on a daily, if not on a daily basis, and certainly on a weekly basis, I say to myself, we live in a fallen world. Because of that fallen world, This is the type of stuff that occurs, the type of stuff that where you have the strife in the family and nobody cares within that family about the elderly, and they say, well, you know, good riddance, you know, let them go or whatever the case may be. So that's the world that we live in, and I think in a way this is a good sign. Instead of being on the sexual side, we're going to have companion bots that are going to be helping people, and those companion bots will give touch. Now, right now, and I haven't worked with it, personally worked with these, but I understand that they're fairly cold touch, but they're advancing it to where, you know, the tactile, I'll call it the fake skin. The fake skin will be, you know, warm to the touch and stuff such as that. So it's going to be in the future. And when I say future, I'm only talking within this next decade, because they already have the infancies of these, that, you know, there's going to be a lot more of these. And then what's going to happen is that as our population certainly is growing older, we know that from demographics, that more and more feelings are going to be supplanted into these artificial intelligence bots.
That makes a lot of sense, and I like the fact that you did measure and scale it out. Like, we do live in a fallen world, so we don't have all the answers, and some of the answers are not going to be complete, but at least we try to give each other that the sense of, you know, if I can't take care of it, at least somebody here, artificial, that will be taken care of, especially like our elderly and our loved ones like that. My next question is this. One of the things you mentioned about the tactile interfaces with some of this stuff.
Yes.
And, of course, I have to go to the hologram room. I have to. I'm sorry, Arby. I'm a Chucky. I cannot help it. I watch it all the time. And so with that, we got the hologram room. So tell us, when it comes to these things here,
yeah,
you know, what are we looking forward to, you know, with remote touching and things of that nature?
Yeah, so to 2019, I think it was February, March, something like that of this year, at the Microsoft Forum, they announced what was called Lens 2, their HoloLens 2. And specifically, you wear, it's a shield over your eyes is what it is. And again, the technology is making it to where it's getting smaller and lighter all the time. But what happens is that that HoloLens 2 is what's called augmented reality. So we have both virtual reality. So virtual reality, your world is completely blocked out, and the only thing that is visible to you is what is displayed on your visors. And then in some cases, you have hand gloves and stuff such as that. And in the virtual reality world, what happens is many people are lost in that virtual reality world, and you hear it over and over again that what happens is that they don't know what's real and what's not real because of the fact that their senses are being fed this information from their eyes. Their senses are being fed the information from their touch also. And in the augmented world, I think that, to me, it's fascinating technology with Microsoft. They've got it to where there's objects. It's augmented reality. So augmented reality, again, is that you've got your world that you physically see, but there's other objects that don't physically exist that are inserted into that world. As these objects are inserted in the world, they appear to you, and they, I'll call it, maybe even feel to you that they've got weight to it. So their demonstrations, live demonstrations that they've had, is they've had buttons, so you'd feel the buttons, whether it be a small button or a large button, or you're moving different sliders around, things such as that. And one other thing about on the touch side, and again, this is both on a good, so again, technology is neutral, but it's both, it can be used for either good or bad. So on the touch side, we actually have what is called remote sensing today. So obviously through the internet, we have the capability that you can talk to somebody, you can visually see them, and you know, they're halfway or all the way around the world. So we've had that for quite some time. Now we have also what is called remote touch. With that remote touch, you can actually feel halfway around the world. Now, I mentioned that the good and the bad. So the bad side of it is that people, unfortunately, are using that from some sexual stimulation side. The good side of it is that from the, I'll call it from the family side, and from maybe, let's say, a loved one that might be off over into another country, might be displaced because of the military or things such as that, you can literally reach out to them and now touch them. But that is remote touch capabilities.
So what's this remote touch? Because I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. So I can touch someone's hand, like if someone's across the world, I can touch their hand and squeeze their hand. But I'm not really squeezing their hand. It just feels like I am.
No, so what happens is that on your side, you're putting your hand in through like a beam. And on their side, what's happening is it's like needles. I mean, they're not needles to where it's going to hurt you, right? But you can, it's think of it as either grasping you or touching you, and that's the way that it works. So it's kind of like that you can feel them, you know, like, for example, let's say that they're going to grace your skin. They're going to, you know, pat your skin or something such as that. You would be able to feel that, but it would be a feeling as you're seeing it on your side, it's like needles or small pins. Maybe that's a better way to say it because they're not sharp, but small pins is what they are, and you're able to feel them that way.
Oh, I see. But it's okay. My mind's starting to think. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it. But then I'm a simple woman, so I don't know. I'm a simple woman. You know, but it's amazing what we can do. The fact that we can do something like that is quite amazing. And I think this is why I want to say, like we said before, technology isn't bad. It's just how you use it. I can definitely see how someone who is alone can be touched across the world and still have some sort of connection with the human interactivity. But we want that to replace that. I don't think we do. And for those of you listening in, we're talking to R.D. Palmer. He is our resident technological expert here on artificial general intelligence. And make sure you go ahead, and if you want to weigh in, you can call in at 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips. Clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today talking to my good friend R.D. Palmer as we talk about artificial general intelligence in part 7 of our series, Rise of the Skin Hungry. R.D. was telling us before the break about remote touching, which is, I guess, again, I got to wrap my head around it. But like I said, once you experience, you're probably like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. And one of the things he did say that right now is currently being used more likely for sexual reasons, and he shared an article with me about future robot brothels using AI sex tech, you know, to do certain things with the people who participate in that. And R.D. just lets you know how technology is so versatile. It's so versatile. It's like a flubber from the lack of better term, like flubber, okay? If I can go back inside, it's like flubber, you know. You can stretch it, do all this other kind of stuff. And so with that, we got to come into, if you can feel someone and touch someone from across the world, you're not there, then we got to come into another aspect about this. We got to talk about what's real, what's truth.
Yeah.
What is reality, what is truth. Let's go ahead and discuss that.
Yeah, you know, so I think that that's an interesting question because of the fact that from a philosophical side, people are trying to determine what's real and truth from us. And you know, they've been doing this for centuries, and this is where I was talking about, you know, you have Aristotle, Plato, and certainly from my book, you have Plotinus, right? They're trying to determine what is reality and what is truth. From a scientific side, for decades, since certainly the Renaissance age, we've been trying to determine what's real and truth. And that's where we've now come into the point, at least since the 1920s, what we have is what's called quantum mechanics, which is what we believe, anyway, is the truth. And that's where we're trying to determine, you know, what's real and what isn't real. And, of course, from quantum mechanics, we have quantum computers today. And from a theological side, we have what's real and what's truth. And we have the way, the truth, and life, which is Jesus Christ. And the reality is what we see is that God created us. Now, the technical terms of what is reality is ontology, and what is truth is epistemology. And I just think that, in a way, for those people that are authors, when you're doing world building, when you're building your world, you're actually going through that thought process of what is real and what is truth for your characters, how your characters relate. Is it in a world, for example, that it is physical like ours with the physical laws, or do you bring in magic, or do you bring in science that's in the future, or something such as that? That being said, we're continuing to push the envelope, if you will, on all of these fronts, from a philosophical side, from a scientific side, and from a theological side, to determine what is real and what is truth. And in many ways, I think that artificial intelligence is helping to open up what that is, because the fact, and I'll just give you a personal example. When I was in college, which for those of you that have listened to previous programs, it was in the late 1970s, excuse me, I had to study quantum mechanics. And at that point in time, I thought, well, that's just a bunch of mental gymnastics that I have to go through. I have to memorize the Maxwell-Boltzmann distribution and stuff like that. And I saw absolutely no need for it. But it wasn't until here in the 21st century that people such as Gordy Rose, for example, the first person to do this, that said, hey, I can take that information that is down at a quantum level, and I can create now a computer from that. And to me, that is mind-boggling. So that is part of where this whole push on this intelligence side of really...
Hey, RD, are you still there? RD? All right, looks like we got like a technical problem there. But one of the things that he was saying was about just how we need to understand what is real and what isn't real. And so that's what we're talking about on this edition of the show. So I'm really excited that RD is taking that time out to really show us. And some of the things that he mentioned was about the fact that we have to really understand the implications of understanding what is real and what is true. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, get RD a chance to come back, and we'll be right back after this brief message. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. It looks like RD is back with us. RD, are you there?
I am here. I'm sorry about that. There's something going on with the telephone system. Hey, I guess it's part technology, right? So
yeah.
I apologize to you and your audience about it, but hey, that's the world that we live in. Fortunately, technology is getting better, but we just had some kind of a hiccup, so I apologize for that.
Well, no problem. You were discussing about, you know, truth and reality and how technology is really opening up the vein of how we understand these. Ardy, are you there? It looks like technology is definitely giving us some cause for pause here. And so what I want to do, I want to invite you to listen in to the rest of the discussions that we're having today about artificial general intelligence. Some people have been highly skeptical that there would be something like this, that there would be something like this, because they feel like, well, that's not ever going to happen because technology is so flawed. I mean, look at right now, Parker, RD's phone is acting up and or something like that. That doesn't matter. The thing is that you do have to be aware of what's going on in the world today. So make sure you check out the other podcasts in this series about artificial general intelligence, where we talk about humanity, where we talk about relationships and things of that nature. RD, you still there?
I am here. I apologize. I can't explain other than saying that it's technology that's doing it. So technology is good, and then sometimes, as we've seen here today, it's unstable. So I apologize to you and your audience.
No, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. I was saying that you were talking about how technology helps us open the vein between truth and reality and how we can interact with those and why that's important.
Yes, yes. And I apologize if some of this is repeat, but what I was saying is that reality is what's called ontology and truth is what's called epistemology. And both from a philosophical, religious, and a theological standpoint, we continue to push. And I think that really as what's happening with more specifically on the philosophical and scientific side, they're doing discoveries, are pushing, if we go back to the Bible, we can see what is truth and what is reality, and that is that God made us. We are special. God wants us to have that touch, that human relationship with others, and he wants us to have that relationship with him, and I think that that's what our reality is.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. One of the things that happens, particularly with the New Age movement, which is a philosophical movement, by the way, it tends to try to blur the line between reality and it tends to blur lines of what is reality and what is truth. But the thing is that people need truth, and we need to know that what we see is real. That's extremely important, because if we can't determine what is real, then we are basically ships without a rudder. We're not going anywhere. We're just lost in the sea of what. Because you can't even give it. You don't have any understanding what's around you. And I think that's highly important, which is why when we're discussing these topics, we bring up the philosophical implications of these things, like technology. Technology is very fluid. When it works, it works. When it doesn't, it doesn't. And when there's nothing like being on your computer, especially for those of us who are office workers, you're on your computer, you're sitting there, you're trying to do something in your system, and then it goes down, and you're just staring at your computer, and you hate the fact that you can't work because the computer doesn't work. So what's the philosophical implications of that? What are we becoming? Like one person said, we're becoming a generation of mouse clickers. That's all we're doing. Another guy, he said, we're not even thinking. We're just going to Google it. So we're becoming pretty much people who just Google things. We don't know for ourselves. We don't know the answer. We just Google it. And this is important because what if the information isn't always available? Go ahead, Arthur.
True. And if I could interject, exactly what you said, that we've now become a nation of mouse clickers, and we're looking at the computer to give us answers. What most people may not realize is that we are at a point today, and this is 2019, where artificial intelligence can take over the majority of jobs. Okay, now it hasn't been rolled out yet, but even, and unfortunately I don't remember the person's name, but he's a venture capitalist in the artificial intelligence world, and he's actually done a interview on 60 Minutes. He says within the next 10 years, that 40% of the jobs, so in other words, 40% of the jobs worldwide, that would be about 2 billion jobs, will disappear. And that's really because of the fact of what's happening with the technology. It's embedding us. We're working with technology, but technology is controlling us for that mouse click. And we're coming to the point here within the next decade or so, according to the these venture capitalists are seeing what's happening with artificial intelligence, that, hey, 2 billion jobs are going to disappear from the face of the planet Earth.
And then what are you going to do with the people who have nothing to do? See, that's the thing. See, what's interesting about people, come back to our talk about skin hungry, what's interesting is this. At work, I have worked with several people for many years, and you're attuned to them in a different way than you're attuned to people at your family, because most of us spend more time at work than we do with our families. It's just the way our society is right now. But it's interesting, I can sit there, particularly if you're in a small office, you can sit there and you know when so-and-so walks by. I can say, oh, Sally just walked by me. I don't even have to see her. I just become attuned to her. Or if she's having a bad day, or if he's having a bad day. There is stuff like that. You become attuned to each other because of that physical connection. But imagine not having that physical connection at work. Imagine not having the say, hey, are you having a good day? Want some coffee? Want to get some tea? Something like that. Imagine not having that, and you're just stuck at home becoming, what, a mouth clicker. Because guess what? You have nothing else to do. The machine is taking care of it for you. You're alone by yourself. You don't have the opportunity to meet people. I mean, this could get really dystopian-like. It really can, but dystopian is more of a terrible utopian, if you will.
So those are the type of things
that come to mind. Mm-hmm.
It becomes isolation. We've isolated ourselves, and that's what's called monophobia. It's fear of loneliness. And technology, in this case, is making us lonely. And what we're doing is, instead of, as you said, spend a lot of time at work and socializing with your co-workers, the technology in this case is going to remove that. And then what many people, unfortunately, are going to do is they're going to supplant that and say, well, I want technology to give me that touch. I want technology to give me that love. I want technology to give me that intimacy. And it will only mimic those things. It will never be that way.
And one thing for myself, I'm a family-oriented person. I love family. I love being around people. And there are people who are not as into that, which is fine. You know, it takes all kinds to make the world go around. But at the same time, we do have to understand that people need people. There is nothing like having a really good friend that helps you out on a bad day. Even introverts have, like, one good friend. Like, oh, my gosh, come here. I got to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? So even the people who are loners aren't really loners per se. They just enjoy their own company. But every once in a while, you want to talk to someone else, talk to someone other than yourself. And so I want to thank you so much, RD, for being with us on the show today about our series, Artificial General Intelligence, Rise of the Skin Hungry. Thank you so much, RD. And if people want to get in touch with you, let them know how they can do that.
Yeah, the easiest, there's a couple ways now. Hey, I'm on social media now. Now, I've known of social media for years, but I just haven't participated in it because of the fact I think that many people are familiar with Cambridge Analytica and some other things like that, right? And I was aware of it when Shoshana Zuboff, which wrote her book after mine about surveillance capitalism. So everybody, I think, in the technology area was aware of it. So I haven't been on social media, but I am now, and I'm on MeWe. So reach out to me on MeWe, or if you want to reach out to me at my website, which is rdpalmerbooks.com, you can contact me there, and I'd be glad to talk with you, chat with you, answer any questions that you have.
RD, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on this show today, for really just constantly coming back and telling us more about artificial intelligence so we can just be aware of what's going on. I can't wait to do the next part of our series real soon. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Parker.
And for those of you, if you want to just weigh in on our interesting series here, Artificial General Intelligence, simply go through the archives on pjcmedia.net. Simply go through those, and you can listen from the very first show, which is rather insightful. And then if you want a taste of it, read RD's book, The One, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's also an audiobook, too, a very interesting audiobook with music and all kind of good stuff happening. So make sure you go ahead and get a copy of The One, which really explores the fact of artificial general intelligence taking over the world. Is it really science fiction or is it fact? We'll find out soon enough, won't we? Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. And God bless.